I want to tell you about my guest this morning. She is playwright and producer Franca Miraglia. Her new play, American Devotion, is receiving its world premiere at Crow's Theatre. Set in 1957, it imagines an evening shared by Marilyn Monroe, Arthur Miller, and Norman Mailer at a time when McCarthyism was casting a long shadow over American culture. Franca, welcome.
Thank you, Jean. I'm so thrilled to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. And this year marks the 100th anniversary of Marilyn Monroe's birth. And why do you think Marilyn Monroe continues to fascinate us all these years?
Well, and it is amazing that our play happens to be doing the world premiere in the same month that everybody's celebrating. And these celebrations are around the world. I mean, there's museums that are dedicating exhibits, there's huge events. And so Marilyn Monroe, I think we have to start with the obvious. She was a stunningly beautiful woman, but she also was responsible for some of the biggest film hits, Some Like It Hot, How to Marry a Millionaire, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. These were mega blockbusters of the time.
Sure.
And then you've also got this frailty in terms of how she's able to act in a way that casts this frailty that I think people were just naturally drawn to. And then you've got the story of her life, that she was an orphan with her mother having been institutionalized, and that she went from foster home to foster home. And the fact that a little girl who had been abandoned somehow managed to become this worldwide phenomena that was received around the world by glowing fans is just unbelievable. And of course, sadly, her ending, you know, has a lot of mystery still involved.
Yes.
And a lot of sadness involved. And so I think all those things wrap up together to make her this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. And that story of going from rags to riches is always something that's captivating.
Yes, for
How
sure.
did she do it?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
American Devotion brings together three remarkable figures, as I've mentioned, Marilyn Monroe, Arthur Miller, and Norman Mailer. So what first drew you to these three people, and why did you imagine them together in this particular moment in history?
Right. Well, this is a fictional evening. It never really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Mailer spent a lot of his time coveting a meeting with Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
And he let everybody know that he was desperate for a meeting with her. And in Arthur Miller's biography, Time Bends a Life, he specifically mentions that Norman Mailer wrote this very mean-spirited book about Marilyn after she had died without having ever met her. And he hypothesizes what would have happened if we had one day invited him to meet her as opposed to her publicity.
Yes.
And would
yes.
he have been more kind and more generous of spirit in how he cast her?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking, wow, I wonder what that evening would be like. And so I conjured up this evening where somehow Norman Mailer has wangled an invitation to their home. And of course, this is in the backdrop of Arthur Miller having just been called to testify in front of the McCarthy trials.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got this really jacked up environment mm-hmm. of pressure.
So you're telling us right away something about Norman Mailer too, aren't you?
Yes, for sure. I have a very distinct opinion about Norman Mailer's book that he wrote about Marilyn Monroe. And again, in Arthur Miller's biography, he says specifically that Norman Mailer wrote it to make a fast buck to pay for his many divorces.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Now, the play takes place in 1957, with McCarthyism, as you've mentioned, still affecting artists, writers, and public figures. Lots of stress at the time.
Yes.
So what was it about that period, though, that you particularly wanted to explore?
Well, it's interesting because I actually wrote this play, 12 years ago.
Right.
And at the time when I had sent it out, a lot of people were like, McCarthyism, that's just like not relevant anymore. And it doesn't really mean anything to anybody anymore. It's kind of like past history. Well, isn't that crazy that, you know, 12 years later, the Marilyn Monroe 100th anniversary and a version of fascism that I think we can all agree that we're seeing, not
yes.
just in the U.S., but in a lot of countries that have
Worldwide.
Turned to strongmen, political figures,
yes.
has kind of had this resurgence. And so it just seemed like the perfect moment to get this play on stage. Awesome. And I'm almost kind of glad that 12 years ago, it didn't get done.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, heartbreaking close calls at the time, but it's almost like fate made it happen now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So many people think they know Marilyn Monroe, particularly through all the things that one is able to read about her and her photographs and her films and popular culture. But as you researched and wrote the play, what surprised you particularly? You've mentioned some things now, but about her.
Yeah, I think it's the context of her relationship with Arthur Miller mm-hmm. that gives us a window into her as a, in a more intimate fashion.
Uh-huh.
You know, how she existed and tried to survive in this marriage with, at the time when they got together, they were dubbed the Beauty and the Brains.
Mm-hmm.
Which automatically casts her as the dumb blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think railing against that, she was actually, very well read. She really aspired to take her craft to a different level. And so people who diminished her and thought that she was just this blonde bimbo, I think, underestimated her. And I think that's where the play really kind of hits the sweet spot
mm-hmm.
is I wanted to make sure that we saw a different view of who I think Marilyn was,
mm-hmm.
especially in the context of her relationship with Arthur Miller, but more importantly, how she deals with the Norman Mailers of this world.
That's going to be fascinating.
Yes.
But also, it also doesn't portray Arthur Miller in a very good light either.
Well, listen, men are complicated. Can I just say that? And my
Jeremy?
Husband's a great husband. I just want to go on record. My husband's a great husband, but men
years,
are complicated, And I think that Arthur Miller probably realized himself that he was in over his head.
Oh.
That he wanted to have this love story. And unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's also the heartbreak of it. Misha Harding, by the way, plays Marilyn Monroe in American Devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And she is riveting. Holm Bradwell plays Arthur Miller. And the two of them together, the first reading we had, I bawled my eyes out.
Oh, fantastic. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, because the love story is so tragic and, it's very heartbreaking.
Now, so without giving away too much, you describe Monroe as having plans of her own for
yes.
the evening.
Yes.
Now, is this in some ways your attempt to give Marilyn a stronger voice than history has often allowed her?
Yes. And I think that Marilyn, in her own way, in the context of the time, did have a strong voice. When the studio tried to convince her to lie that it wasn't her on that red crush velvet posing naked, the studio
yes.
wanted her to lie and say it wasn't her, but she was like, no, it was me. And people rallied and understood that right. when, rent is due, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. So
sure.
there's lots of times throughout her life, she started her own production company. So there's lots of things that show that she was a feisty, fierce person and that a lot of people underestimated her and that wasn't fair.
Now, I'm seeing a parallel here. I have to tell you this, Frank, although I'm very impressed to take you're talking. I'm hearing about you, too, in all this. You're feisty. You're courageous. You're strong after 12 years putting this play on. I mean, come on. And before becoming a playwright, you had a successful career in technology, public relations, and film. And you got a Master of Fine Arts in theater and began writing plays, 9 of them. Now, come on.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you, Jean. And, it is a labor of love. Canadian theater, making original Canadian plays is challenging
yes.
and hard. And I am also very thankful that I've had the chance to do as much as I have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blessing as well.
And when did you know that this was becoming a passion for you? I mean, when did that kernel begin?
Well, I'll tell you, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can hear dialogue really distinctly about these characters that you've invented in other plays, you start writing it down, and then you realize that these people deserve to be heard, and these stories deserve to be told.
Mm. And what gave you the idea that you could do this?
You know what? I'm an Italian immigrant from a very small town in Italy. My parents left their hometown, left everybody they knew to give us a better life in Canada, a typical immigrant story. And so the idea that we would come and not honor their sacrifice by really investing in education and having professional careers was first and foremost my obligation to them. But then after I feel like I met my obligation to them, it allowed me to invest in something that filled my heart.
Mm-hmm. And I can hear that very clearly. And Franca, I want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
I mean, it's been a real treat to meet you and to find out about your play and to learn much more about you.
Well, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
And so do we. American Devotion imagines an evening in 1957 shared by Marilyn Monroe, Arthur Miller, and Norman Mailer, and receives its world premiere June 3rd through 21st at Crowe's Theatre. Performances are at 8 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday, with 2 p.m. matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. Crowe's Theatre is located at 345 Carlaw Avenue in Toronto in Leslieville, in a fabulous area, I must say. For tickets and information, visit crowestheatre.com or call 647-341-7390. Franca, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on this production.
Thank you so much.